Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Movement Radio. I am Chip Hazard.
I'm Talon Williams.
And I'm Roger Sierra. And this year, we are going to sort of change up how we've been doing our podcast. We're going to be a little bit more structured, I guess would be the best way to say this. We're going to be doing some things in here and there. We're going to start each podcast like this with us just being ourselves and saying what we've been doing lately. Since it is a new year and we really haven't done it yet, I guess we can sort of talk about our week slash month so far, since the month's almost over already. So who wants to kick off what they've been doing for January so far?
Go ahead, Chip.
This month has been really interesting for me. Doing a lot of housework in the freezing cold, had some pipes freeze and bust under the house. But that's not really the fun stuff. The fun stuff is,
so hold on. So you said for the month of January, you've been busting.
Yes. God, here we go. Yes. I've been busting.
Even busting.
I've been busting.
I got five on it.
But I found this TV show called Shameless. If you guys haven't watched it yet, mm-hmm. Absolutely good. Amazing. Binge watched the entire season. Then I found The Bear.
Love The Bear. Also, fucking, I've told you about that show.
God,
I told you how to watch it.
So damn good.
So, and then my thing with it real quick, sorry, is that they classify it as a fucking comedy.
Yeah, they classify it's
dark comedy, but it's nowhere a comedy in my mind.
No.
Where is it? Where can I find
Hulu,
it?
Hulu. Hulu. Hulu.
What exactly is it about?
So it's a show about Carmi. He's the main character, and he inherits his brother's sandwich shop in, fuck, was it Jersey? Philly?
No. It's in Chicago.
Chicago, sir. Yeah, sorry. In Chicago. Yeah. It's shot in location in Chicago, I'm pretty sure.
It is.
In an actual, like, broken down, an abandoned sandwich shop that they redid. But
it's not an abandoned sandwich shop. I did some research.
Oh.
So it's an actual sandwich shop called The Beef. They're still running to this day.
I bet they're making fucking money now.
Road trip from selling
road trip
with the popularity of the show The Bear, they went from selling around 300 sandwiches a day to 800 sandwiches a day.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's damn good.
So Carmi is played by the same guy who plays Lip in Shameless. Mm-hmm. He's also in the Iron Claw movie. Yes. His brother, who he inherits the sandwich shop, is the guy who plays, John Barenthal, the guy who plays the Punisher in the Netflix series Punisher.
Or Shane from The Walking Dead, for those who haven't seen The Punisher.
It's Disney series now. Think about the rights and they made them canon. So Punisher is MCU canon.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
So that movie, or that TV show, is fucking absolutely beautiful. Amazing.
Beautiful.
Yes.
The writing, the direction, just the way the atmosphere and everything. Fucking beautiful show. Just amazing. And I'm glad it won all those Emmys. Wait.
Yes, and I can't wait for season 3.
I think they start filming in February. It's supposed to be done by July.
Yes. And then
I feel like I'm out of the loop on this one.
So just yesterday I started watching a TV show called Found. It's on Peacock. You guys have not watched that yet, I'm 3 episodes in and I'm absolutely addicted.
Is that, so is it that has got Mark,
Mark Paul Gosselaar?
Yeah. Zach Morris. Yeah.
No.
Zach Morris. Who the person who played Zach Morris. I get it.
I'm telling you, but if you watch this, you forget Zach Morris altogether.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it also has the lady who plays V, or Veronica in Shameless. Mm-hmm. She's the main character, Gabby Mosley, and then he's another character.
Yeah,
another character in the show. I don't want to give too much away because
God, it is so good. It, yeah.
Started watching a lot more anime. Got into some stuff that you suggested, Roger.
We'll talk about some really good stuff.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Yes.
But the other thing is I found this album by a band called Beartooth, and the album is called The Surface. I don't like all the songs on it, but there are a handful of songs on this album that I recommend to everybody, because it's really like the songs make you think into yourself, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. It's almost a retrospective. It's very uplifting and powerful, and those songs are in order on the album: Doubt Me, The Better Me, Might Love Myself, and then later in the album you have My New Reality and I Was Alive. The first song I heard from this album was Might Love Myself. And that was very random.
Yeah.
But
that scream.
Yes.
It's probably one of the kids' mouths. Hang on a second. Go ahead and keep talking.
Good.
the song Might Love Myself.
Sorry, what? Might Love Myself. Go ahead.
When you listen to it and you'll understand what I'm saying about it. But verse two, it says, trade my hope for pain, still hate who I became. How long am I going to be young and lost? Might never feel right, never be clear, but nothing will change until I face my fear. Done paying the price without knowing the cost. Could it happen to me? And then it goes into the chorus. And the chorus is just the way the lead singer, and I don't know his name. I'm sorry. I am not a huge fan of Beartooth. This is literally the only album that I have listened to of theirs. But the chorus, it says, took my body over, lost all my composure. Never felt quite like this before. Chemistry is changing, emotions rearranging. I'm out of my cage, breaking the spell. Think I might love myself. And that really like hit home with me because, I started having a lot of, like mental anxiety and self-doubt, over the last several months. And like this song, and anytime I put it on, like, it just reminds me, like, I've got to love myself and not worry about what other people might think about me, because in the end, as long as you love yourself, and you know your immediate loved ones love you, that's really all you need.
Yeah.
So
yeah, really good song.
That's been basically my month.
Your month so far.
Just in a nutshell.
Yeah. The lead singer of the band Beartooth is a guy by the name of Caleb Shomo. And the first time I actually heard of Caleb Shomo was actually on, which I knew of him through Beartooth, but I wasn't really a fan of Beartooth as much as like other bands that I listened to. And I didn't really actually hear him until, he was a guest on the We Came as Romans Dark Bloom album. He's on the song Black Hole, and I thought, well, this dude's pretty cool. That's when I got into like listening to some of the older stuff, and yeah, the older stuff's a little bit more aggressive, I guess would be the best way to say it. But yeah, I get what you're saying. It's a great album. My month, started off good. You know, I started door dashing just to, you know, make a little bit of extra money on the side and stuff, and it's been, you know, going good for me. Again, also with the pipes busting and everything, you know, I've been dealing with that as well. As far as like leisurely stuff goes, I finished Far Cry 6. I've been working on that game since probably maybe October or November, whenever it came out on the Game Pass, and I had it wrapped up. And I think Far Cry 6, it's not the best Far Cry game that I've played, but it's pretty good, I think. You know, I still think three's pretty good up there. Primal's, you know, I never got to play Primal, but I've got to see gameplay of it, and that looks pretty cool. And then as far as, you know, like I really haven't really been doing anything other than just, you know, trying to stay busy, you know, trying to, you know, work on different things. I did something that I didn't think I was capable of doing until, you know, Chip helped me out with it. And then I was able to do pretty much soon. I actually made a slide for an upcoming trivia night that we're fixing to do, hopefully within the next couple of months, at Plus Ultra. I got my Demon Slayer trivia thing done. I thought it looked pretty good. I thought it came out okay. You know, other than that, I mean, I'm kind of the boring one because I really don't have like a whole lot of other things to share in a weird way. You know, I'm sorry if that seems not
no shows, no movies, nothing.
As far as shows go, like I said, I just wrapped up Far Cry 6. I'm currently playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I've been watching a lot of the older shows that I never really got into, so I went back and like tried to rewatch them. Like I remember I was watching this one show called Weeds about this. I went back and rewatched Weeds. I just finished wrapping up the latest the finale of Ink Master that comes on Paramount Plus. And then just keeping up with, you know, what's going on in sports and stuff like that. From, you know, different sports that, you know, we like. Again, got into anime, got into the newer animes that you guys, that Roger recommended. I love Delicious and Dungeon, but we'll talk about that in a minute. I didn't get a chance to get around to watching Metallic Rogue. I didn't get a chance to watch that one yet. My son got me watching Hunter x Hunter. You know, and I know people have are, you know, iffy about Hunter x Hunter, but he started watching it and I was like, hey, so you're watching Hunter x Hunter. How is it? He goes, Dad, I'm already 25 episodes into it. And I'm like, no, you're not. You just started watching it like 2 days ago. And then I look and I'm like, you know, episode 26. Shit. I think I better start watching this with him now, you know? So we've been watching like a couple episodes every night. So, you know, so that's something we're doing there. Why is she screaming? It's the house, man. I'm telling you, you know, think the house is haunted, but it's fine. Wouldn't be the first time. But yeah, that's basically been my weekend, my month so far, so good. Roger, what about you, man?
So I actually took 2 months off from everything. So I pretty much didn't talk to anybody, except for like a few people here and there. And in that time I watched Shorzy, which is such a fucking amazingly funny show. It's only like 12 episodes, so you guys can marathon it both seasons immediately. Letterkenny finished, so I watched the finale of Letterkenny, and I'm so upset that that's actually done. Then I also watched a bunch of anime, just a shit ton of anime. I rewatched Jujutsu Kaisen. Still don't get the fucking hype around it. Great fights. that's about it.
So I guess, and it's not getting your vote for anime of the year.
No, definitely not. Not over the other ones on the list. Watched both two seasons again. Like I said, couldn't get into it, couldn't do it. Went back and rewatched Yu Yu Hakusho again because I love that show so much. And then Netflix put out that bullshit live action thing. Then started watching Delicious in Dungeon, Solo Leveling, Metallic Rogue. We'll talk about those later on. Went and watched the new Aquaman movie. It was good, but not as good as the first one. And I think that's an unfair expectation to have. So in my opinion, I probably set it up too high and it's probably better than what I think it is. Still a good movie. I still tell people to watch it. I started working out a little bit more, reading more again. Let's see, what else have I done? Just that and fucking just going to work, unfortunately, in this bullshit weather.
It's cold as fuck, man.
Yeah. Well, it's not too bad. It's just the ice sucks ass around here.
Yeah. Dude, I was driving through downtown Chattanooga today. There's still ice just everywhere. And I'm like, golly, it's already been, what, 5-6 days since we've had that ice storm? Like, just So go away. You know,
you guys had a quick ice storm. We actually had snow for 2 days. We had 4 inches of snow land here, and it sucked because it's just frozen now.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, Knoxville got hit with like 9 inches of snow.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Eli and Jerry up in Maryville. They got about 7-8 inches.
Speaking of Knoxville, also went to an Ice Bear game. Got to rip my Ice Bears again. Fucking loved it.
The number 3 ranked sports logo for anybody who wants to go back into the archives and check out the our top 10 sports.
Should be number 1, but you know.
I mean, the one we voted number 1 was the one you suggested, so I mean.
I'm trying to think about what else I did, trying to just make it a quick wrap up and everything.
Real quick, one thing I forgot. I'm actually, like you, I've been reading more, and I'm currently reading the 5th book in Christopher Pollini's Inheritance series, Murtaugh. Really good book so far. If you read the first 4, you kind of, you know, this is a continuation of that.
Yes.
Really good book so far.
I need to get back into my fiction stuff. I've been reading a lot of nonfiction and self-help stuff, and which is great, but sometimes you want your mind to go somewhere else and get on that. But also, I've been playing a crap ton of Baldur's Gate. I think I've done 4 or 5 playthroughs already. Playing the shit out of Power World right now. For those of you who don't know what Power World is, it's Pokemon and Ark Survivor. People are calling it Pokemon with guns. Yes, it does have that, but it's Ark Survivor gameplay with Pokemon, pretty much. It's fucking fantastic.
Yeah. It takes a while to get used to. Yeah. It does take a while to get used to.
Yeah, if you haven't played any survival games, it does take you a minute. But the good thing is, it pretty much forces you to do the tutorial as you're doing it, and it helps you level up with it easier. I finally finished, quote-unquote, finished the tutorial. I finally did all levels of it. But I'm on level, I think I'm 15, level 15 out of 50 already.
Well, I mean, I only played it for about maybe 2 hours, and I was already up to level 5.
I played 12 hours the first day.
I know you did. I had a feeling you did.
Dude, 4 o'clock came around, and I was like, fuck. But I was still in the middle. I was like, I want to play some more. I was like, fuck, but I couldn't.
That's why I just like, I put my avatar to bed. And then the last thing I say before I'm like, all right, guys, I'm going to jump off here. I'll talk to y'all later. Loso goes, cool. I'll talk to you later. By the way, I'm fixing to jack your shit. And then that's when he got up. I'm like, you
bastard. And we did. We destroyed. No, we didn't do anything to you.
Okay. So. Okay. I'm about to say, yeah.
No, you're good. And then I started listening to more newer to me artists, I guess. Some are new, some are been around for a while. The number one artist I've been listening to this year is a rapper from Flint, Michigan by the name of BFB the Pac-Man. He sort of reminds me of Redman in the sense that he can do serious rap, but he does a lot of comedical rap in a sense that some of his lyrics are just like, that's funny, or, you know, that's a little bit out there, but it's still good to listen to. I watched him do an interview, and he said that he does his rap style is like if he's having a conversation with the boys. So it's just pretty much like how we would, you know, bullshit and talk about things, but he did it in a rap sense. And it's really good, enjoyable. I like him. I started listening to Amine again. It's been a couple of years since I listened to him, but I love his music so much, and he's out there for me too. And then I started listening to a lot of, for some reason, dark electro pop. I don't know why, but I've always liked the genre. And so I was like, I'm just going to dive into it some more. And I fucking love the shit out of it.
Any particular bands?
Not bands, but there's a few artists. Well, Fantagram would probably be the number one band, I guess, that I listened to that, this dark electro.
That was the name I was looking for. Yeah, it was Fantagram.
I've listened to him for decades. But I started listening to Ari Abdul. Let's see. Let me pull up the other list. Fuck, that's the wrong playlist. Ari Abdul, Night Space, like I said, Fantagram, and Crystal Castles. I already listened to them before too. Another one that I started listening to more, Isabel La Rosa are probably like the big ones, and Movement are from like that genre. I don't know. It's just like that. So synthesizer with just that alluring vocal. So it's just, I don't know, I just dove more into it this year so far. I don't know why, but it's just, I wanted to branch out from what I was already listening to. And we all dip our toes in different genres, so why not go into and find stuff from that genre you like and grow it more, is my idea for it.
That's how I was with deathcore when I first discovered it. Like when I first became a fan of Suicide Silence, I was like, all right, well, we'll see who else has this style. And then that's when you get into bands like, you know, I Declare War, Oceano, the Despised Icon, who are basically the godfathers of the deathcore style. And in my opinion, probably the best deathcore band right now, which is Whitechapel, you know. And I love Suicide Silence, but especially since Mitchell Ucker passed away, it ain't been as good as it once was. That's why I have to put Whitechapel up there. And people are like, well, what about Lorna Shore? Listen, the guy does pig noises. We get it. You like that shit. It ain't my cup of tea, you know?
They all do pig noises.
No, this guy does a legit pig noise. You could clearly tell the difference. Like, I know some people say, oh, man, all deathcore sounds the same. Listen to Lorna Shore. You'll see that guy does have a distinction, but that's for a different discussion. But yeah.
And, also the XX, is another dark electro pop band I listen to. I don't know why I forgot them, cause they have probably one of the best intros ever on the album. Right. Song wise.
Oh, shit.
But no, so that's pretty much how we're going to start every podcast. I mean, we're just going to just talk about our weeks, just what we've been into, talk about it. Hopefully we talk about something that interests you guys, and maybe you'll go out and watch a show or listen to an artist or watch a movie or an anime or something that we've talked about, and we can get some comments from you guys, see what you guys like. As always, you know, subscribe, comment below. You know, we do look at our comments and everything like that and try to talk to as many people as we can. If you're listening to Spotify, you can leave us, leave comments on Spotify still too. And if you're on like Apple Podcasts or something like that, go to our Facebook, our Instagram, our X, Twitter, whatever the crap they want to call themselves. just talk to us, leave us a message there, DM us or anything like that at all. But we are going to all take a quick break right here. I forgot to tell you guys a story. So I have this jug with a bunch of stickers on it, all anime. It has everything from My Hero, Dragon Ball, Tokyo Revengers, Haiku, Full Metal, Naruto, Code Geass, pretty much the animes I love to watch and rewatch and stuff like that. Although the sticker pack did not have Yu Yu Hakusho, which I think is bullshit. But that doesn't matter right now. So somebody saw this jug, you know, specifically on these pictures. So Goku, Naruto, and Goku, Inosuke, Kakashi, Ed, and Roy Mustang, and Takamichi, and Lelouch. And the lady, I'm at work, and looks at the jug, and she's like, is that One Piece? And I'm like, yes, that's the One Piece. She's like, oh, I knew it. I love anime. Lying, bitch.
How the fuck you don't?
I don't want to be. I should have quizzed. No, I'm not gatekeeping anime. I'm not doing it this year. I'm no longer gatekeeping anime. Y'all like what you like.
No more gatekeeping.
Hate what you hate. This is something that bullshit in my yard because you will be challenged. It'll be like Pokemon Battle, but I throw these hands. So our second segment, we're going to start doing weekly. Hopefully you guys get into it and everything like that, all you listening. We're going to do either question of the week or story of the week or dilemma of the week, whatever. Hopefully on our social medias, you guys can actually submit a question of the week and get some traction that way. You can DM us some stories or some dilemmas or something like that. You guys want some relationship advice? We'll talk about it. Doesn't mean it'll be good, but we'll talk about it.
But and we will keep everything anonymous if you anonymous, want it
yes.
to be.
Yeah.
If you want your name out there, let us know. We'll put it out there. Yeah. But unless you say otherwise, it will remain all anonymous.
Yes. But the question of the week this week that I picked up was, what's the most evil thing someone has said to you during an argument? So hopefully a lot of juicy bullshit. Ooh. Hopefully this is the scallywag realm right here.
Yeah.
But this first comment said, I knew I shouldn't have lowered my standards.
Golly.
Delicious. That's, love it.
that's an ego killer.
Yeah, that is. It really is.
Then there's, that's why your hairline starts behind your ears.
Hey, wait a minute, motherfucker. You been talking to my ex? Fuck you, Debbie. All right, go ahead. What's next?
Let's see. This next one is, I can explain it to you. I can't understand it for you.
Oh, that's a very nice way of calling somebody a dumbass.
That's, yeah, exactly. Holy shit. That's right in the gut, dude. Jesus.
This next one. I'm going to walk away right now because this is not the person I fell in love with.
Oh, that hurts more than it. Like,
that's a direct jab. Sting.
That's a yeah. Golly. Yeah, say it. Go ahead and say it.
So this one is actually one of my more favorite ones.
Oh, Lord. We can tell you haven't said it yet.
All right. I can give you the numbers to all my hoes, and they will tell you that you get better treatment than them.
Wow.
What the fuck? Golly.
Wow.
Holy shit.
This one posted two of them for two different arguments, I guess. It might have been the same person. It might not have been. This the first part they said, I knew I should have listened to my gut and not married you.
Damn. Ooh.
The second one they posted, I've gone further for barbecue than pussy.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, you know how good barbecue is, bro? I mean, come on, you got the ribs, you got the chicken.
Hey, brisket, I'll go far for brisket.
Shit. I'm hungry.
All right. If you can graduate, anyone can.
Ouch.
That's another nice way of calling somebody a dumbass.
Yeah. This one's layered.
Golly, you might as well end that sentence with bless your heart. I mean,
this next one's layered. You dip your Oreos in water because your dad went for milk and never came back.
I'm gonna use that one.
All I'm saying is that somebody uses that in a wrestling promo.
Oh, I'm gonna use that one.
Shit.
Oh, that is used.
Hello?
You good? You good over there?
Oh, God. Dude, I'm about blacked out. Hold on. Oh, my God. Oh, that's a punchable offense. Holy shit. Go ahead.
He's in a punchable offense.
I mean, what other response do you have to that other than just like, you know, what other response do you have? Because you can't say anything. Like, holy shit.
Oh.
Whew.
All right, let me see. Let me find another. I think I have one more. Shoot. Where is it at? Oh, damn it. I had it. Oh. This one, I don't know. This guy might not be alive anymore. Your sister never gives me these problems. Not gave, gives me these problems.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a death offense right there.
you cheating and it's with a family member, yeah, you're fucked.
And this little last nugget after this one, we'll move on. But this one says, you are too broke to have this conversation.
Ouch. Ugh. That's crazy.
You are too broke to have this conversation.
So I'm guessing I guess I'm dipping the Oreos was the winner for the week.
Yeah.
That needs to be a wrestling promo on TV.
I can hear LA Knight saying this, actually.
Dude, he'd kill it. He'd kill it.
Yes, he would. Well, hold on. Well, you brought up all of those different things that people have said. So I'm going to ask the question. What's the worst thing anybody ever said to you in an argument?
See, my issue is that in my younger years, I was toxic as fuck. So I probably said the worst things ever. So you could probably say something, and I'd probably say something more hurtful back because I wanted to win because I'm toxic like that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I.
Because you know how men are. We're prideful as fuck and we don't want to be hurt.
Yeah.
See, in my younger years, I was quick to punch a motherfucker in the mouth. So I don't know. As soon as somebody said something like out of pocket, they probably got punched in the mouth. And it probably wasn't even that bad. I couldn't tell you that. I mean, I was quick back in the day, you know, in my late youth, early 20s. Yeah.
Well, somebody said to me, fuck, I don't know. I don't think I have anything that really hurt me. Cause I mean, I don't give a fuck about people anyway. So
yeah, I smacked a dude in the face with a radiator because he called my mom a bitch. I mean, and that's not even that bad. So
no, I'm probably on that list somewhere. Somebody's probably wrote something I've said before on that list. So
yeah, but I hit this cat with a radiator from a car in his face. So
what about you, Talon?
Huh?
Yeah. What about you?
You got the look on your face. You want to say something?
My toxic ex, Chip, you know who she is.
Put that bitch on blast.
Yeah.
I already said it earlier in the podcast.
Did you?
I said, fuck you, Debbie.
Oh.
Yeah.
He used the Eminem line, but shout out his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, basically.
That was her name.
But her name was Debbie. Okay.
Well, fuck
you, Debbie.
Yeah. We ended up... she ended up living with me for a little while, and it got to a point we were arguing literally. All right, look, I'll tell the story. We were in the middle of an argument, right? And I cannot remember how the argument started. Apparently, I know when the argument started. I was over at Chip's house. We were watching a TNA pay-per-view.
Oh, I would start an argument for that too.
She calls, and literally I walk out of the room, and I'm literally in Chip's laundry room arguing with this bitch. For almost literally, I don't know, what'd you say, 15, 20 minutes, something like that? Got off the phone with her. I came back in the room, and I'm pissed. And Chip goes, you all right? I'm like, no, this bitch made me miss two matches. You know? But I got home that night. She was staying with her grandmother. Yeah, staying with her grandmother, whatever. Turns out she was, you know, seeing somebody else, what I understand. Got back to the house. We started arguing. And it was the night that I broke up with her, right? We're arguing the whole time. Like, I was like, you know what? I got to get the fuck away from you. So I walk outside. We were living in Flintstone at the time. So I walked outside on our little carport area. And remember back when Music Choice was still around? Is Music Choice still around? Like certain channels, like Comcast had it. It's like you go to a channel and it's like it just plays music, no, anything like that. Well, we're outside arguing, like at the top of our lungs, right? And she said, fucking bitch. She said, I swear to God, I wish you would have been dropped on your fucking head. And I'm like, that's the worst you got to say to me? She goes, on barbed wire. And I'm like, okay, what else you got? And then she uttered the fatal words. She said, if your dick was as big as, hold on, how did she put it? She, because she grabbed the tire iron. I remember that. She I can't remember. She goes, if your dick was as big as this tire iron, we wouldn't be having these problems. I'm like, oh, what the? So you compare me to a tire, you know? And I'm just like,
are we talking about like the four way, like the cross tire iron? Like,
no. It was one of the.
One of the singular ones with the jack. You got click, yes, click, click,
yes,
click,
those,
click,
yes, click. Yeah, that one. Yeah, because it was right next. We had it on the carport, and she picked up. And by the way, also, I'm like, look, I said, just put it down, right? So she ended up putting it down. I took it and I chunked it across the fucking yard to make sure she didn't have it in her hand, you know. And we're arguing, and the whole time she's like, just, you know, can we just work this out? Blah blah blah. And I'm like, bitch, I just literally broke up with you literally 30 minutes ago, and we're still out here fucking arguing the whole time this going on. Chris Brown's Never a Right Time to Say Goodbye is playing in the background. And I'm like, oh shit. So I get up. For somehow we ended up, was that?
Time out. Because my favorite part of this whole story is when she put a hit out on this dude on MySpace.
Yeah.
On MySpace, bro.
Yeah.
So this was a 2004, 2005?
It was.
I don't remember the date, but she put a picture. She literally made a post to put a picture of him.
I said,
the person who brings this man to me dead or alive gets me.
Yeah. I was 20. Yeah, I was 20. So that was, 2006. Yeah, it was 2006. But yeah, that whole thing. Well, here's the thing. Before what Chip talked about happened, we had a mutual agreement. We were just going to be friends, no problem, whatever. She calls me 2 days later and says she's pregnant. I was like, fuck. So
you pushed down the stairs.
No. She wasn't pregnant at all. She lied about being pregnant because she wanted to try to get back with me. And I pulled her punk card, and I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to tell my parents what's going on. You tell your parents what's going on. And then all of us collectively are going to go to the doctor and get you checked for real. And then she goes, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to be like every other deadbeat piece of shit? And I'm like, no, if the kid's mine, I'll take care of it. You know, I'll raise my kid. And the first thing I'm going to do is file fucking, you know, custody, because I'm going to let him live with you and your crack whore mother. That part of the conversation didn't go over well either. But then later on, we had a conversation, smooth things over. Okay, no problem. Then I went to MySpace. And you know how they used to have the bulletins? It said, it was her, and it said, wanted dead or alive. And the only thing I thought about at this point, I'm like, okay.
Bon Jovi.
No.
Yes.
No. Wanted dead or alive. Bon Jovi was not what I thought. At the time, we were wrestling for a company in Rossville called GXW, and one of their big shows was entitled Wanted Dead or Alive. So I'm not thinking anything else. I'm thinking, okay, maybe she says something about the show because we were promoting it on the MySpace page. Click it, and there's a picture of me holding one of the title belts, and she goes, anybody who brings this piece of shit to me, dead or alive, gets me as a reward.
Gross.
I'm thinking to myself, I am not worth this. I am not worth any of this shit. She had about, like, everybody who was friends with her on MySpace was also friends with me. They were people who knew her through me. The moment that was posted, the only friend she had was her mom, her dad, her brother, and Tom. That was it. You know, like nobody else. Everybody was like, nah, fuck you, bitch. You know? And I even looked into filing like charges against her. Like, hey, can I consider this a terroristic threat? Like, you know, anything, any of that shit. But, you know, I didn't think anything of it.
I mean, that's a conspiracy of murder.
Yeah, conspiracy of murder. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I wasn't tripping about it too much. Although, what's so funny about that is back in 2021, I want to say, we got up early on a Saturday morning, and for whatever reason, Amy was like, hey, let's go to Waffle House. I'm like, all right, cool, let's go to Waffle House. So we ended up going to Waffle House, sit down, not thinking anything, right? I'm looking at the menu, I'm probably going to get the All-Star Special, looking at it, and then all of a sudden, the waitress comes over, and she goes, oh, hi, Talon. And I look up, and guess who it is? Her. And immediately she goes, Can I get y'all something to drink? And then we took orders and she walked over and I said, don't you drink anything this bitch brings to this table. Don't you do it. It's not going to be good. And then like 5 minutes later, she had to leave because she had an emergency and it's like, all right, whatever, bitch. But yeah, that's my twisted tale. And I'm sure everybody's like, what a bitch.
I think the most traumatizing part of the story was the fact that y'all go to a Waffle House in the fucking morning. Yeah.
Y'all see how he flips shit on me and stuff? Like I'm pouring my heart out to you people, and then he makes a joke about it.
All right. It's not even that. It's just like I don't know. For me, when it comes to Waffle House doesn't exist before 10 p.m.
Well, it was. I mean, it was around like 9 o'clock or something like that. So I was like, fuck it, you know. So,
but it's like 10 p.m. to like
you really wanted to Waffle House.
10 p.m. to 4 a.m. is like the Waffle House existence.
It's where you go when you're drunk and you need something in your stomach before you throw up everywhere.
Oh, nah, man. I go to Waffle House to enjoy the greater free entertainment.
Oh, my God.
Right?
We went out back when we went to back after we were clubbing and shit. There was a spot called the Electric Cowboy. It used to be over there in Eastgate Mall. And we would go out and hang out and everything like that and drink and, you know, bullshit or whatever. We ended up going to the Huddle House. I can't remember exactly what happened, but there are these two people that was arguing and this one chick just got up and literally grabbed a full plate of food, still had food on it, and just slammed it down on the ground and said, fight me, motherfucker, fight me. And I'm drunk. I'm just like, what's going on, Chip? I don't even know what I'm saying. And Chip's just like, just go back to sleep, town. Go back to sleep. It's fine. When he's just sitting there watching it, sipping his tea.
That's what you do. You let people act a fool.
Yep, and that's free entertainment.
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to tell one more that I found that I was actually looking for earlier and found that I thought was hilarious. And from there, we'll move on to our next segment. But this last part for the question of the week is, what's the most evil thing somebody said to you in an argument? The guy prefaces it by saying that his name is Luigi. And he said during an argument, she said to him, that's why you'll always be a player two-ass nigga.
Wow.
That's when boxed. That's when you get boxed. You know what I'm saying?
He said his name was Luigi. And she said, that's why you always be player two.
You go, Luigi, me, bitch? In front of my friends?
That's what I'm saying. Boxing. Mm. Boxing. But,
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. That might be my favorite.
Yep.
I don't know. You have to dip your Oreos in water.
Oreos in water because your dad never came back with the milk.
That's a wrestling promo and a half.
Yes. But no. I can see like LA Knight saying it. I can see
Carmelo Hayes.
Carmelo Hayes. Yep. Who else? Trick Williams.
Maybe.
He got to get better on promo, though, I think.
Trick Williams is a better one than promos. Carmelo Hayes needs to get better on promos.
Yeah.
Trick Williams needs to get better at ring presence, I guess, because he always seems to feel like he's always off just a step somewhere.
And he always seems to be in the ropes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could tell that he's, you know, you could tell he's just straight out the
The NFL or NIL.
NIL, yeah. Yeah, well, you might as well say NFL, NIL. Either way, they're.
I don't know if he was. I think he was a basketball player, wasn't he? Or was he a football player?
I thought he ran track.
He might be a track star.
I think he was the track star.
Yeah.
But, no,
I'm just happy Pete Dunne's back. Potential.
Yep.
The Bruiserweight's back, motherfucker.
Pete the Butcher.
Butch is dead. Long live Pete Dunne.
But, no. So that's our second segment. We're gonna go to our third segment, and our third segment is just gonna be our anime review segment. Pretty easy. Like the guys were talking about earlier, I recommended some animes to watch. We all started watching Delicious in Dungeon on Netflix.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
Also, the one I've been waiting for fucking 2 years now, Solo Leveling. Solo Leveling. Finally came out after waiting forever. And also recommend Metallic Rouge. So all of us have seen Delicious Dungeon. Talon, you said you didn't get a chance to get to Metallic Rouge. Did you get to watch Solo Leveling at all?
I got halfway through the first episode, and then I had to. We had some issues this past week. We had to take my daughter to the hospital, so I didn't get a chance to do anything else like that. But
oh, that's fine. You know. Chip, you got to watch all three of them, you said? Or
I got Delicious Dungeon and Solo Leveling.
Okay. You didn't watch Metallic Rouge?
No, before the pipes part.
We'll say Metallic Rouge for next week. You know?
All right. I'll still give a overall without spoiling kind of thing for you guys to prepare on that. Delicious Dungeon.
I've had one in Scorpion so bad in my life.
I have a major question about that once we get towards the end.
Okay.
Okay.
All right,
it's been on my mind since I finished the third episode.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
So hold on. So I'm gonna start out real quick and Delicious Dungeon A+. You guys agree?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Definitely agree.
For me, it's just that it's, I don't want to say slow, but it's carefully paced. Mm-hmm. The timing of the humor is perfect. The setting is great. Dungeon crawling, D&D and cooking. Literally, it's just D&D and cooking.
Yeah.
And it doesn't boast its right way. By the way I relate it to it is the story is being told by a great dungeon master. So everything's told rightfully, pays out well. Everything's great description. And even when it comes to the cooking is gourmet style recipes.
Yes.
But with random dungeon monsters. Like, it's no real way of explaining it. It's literally so it
starts. It's chopped in a dungeon, basically.
Yeah, it's literally all chopped. It's all in Master Chef Dungeon Edition.
Master Chef.
And I like how like in the first episode, right, you know, as you meet the dwarf, the chick gets the slime on her. And she, you hear her inner monologue, and she was like, "The first time I died."
See, that's what I want to talk about. That how they all talk about multiple resets or respawns or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, because she's a mage, and she has the ability to resurrect people.
Well, no, she died herself, but she came back.
Yeah, right. Yes.
And in episode 3, Laos talks about the first time he got killed, also, mm-hmm. and came back.
And he, even in the first episode, when he's talking about his sister, so
let's go back to the plot. So the way it starts out is we meet our party of Laos. Laos? I don't want to say Laos. It's not a country. Laos. What is the lockpick's name?
Marcel is the elven.
Yeah, Marcel is the mage.
Clinchuk.
That's our three. Yeah. That's our three mains that we start out with. They're in a dungeon fighting a crimson dragon. They're hungry, so the battle they're losing. Blah blah blah, getting beat up. Laos's sister pushes him away from a dragon about to bite down on him, and she sacrifices herself to get the rest of the party out of the dungeon.
Yeah.
Well, they get out of the dungeon. They wake up outside in a town. But they have no equipment, no food, no nothing. They're pretty much starting over again. They have the armor on them, pretty much their clothing on them. And their weapons.
Right. And they're trying to figure out, okay, what can we sell to make sure that we have armor, supplies, food, medicine, and we got to hire two more people to come along on this mission with us. And it's like, how are we going to do this?
And then Laos gets the bright idea of just instead of spending money on food, just eat the monsters in the dungeon. Because he has this book that just like an old book that describes cook or I guess the taste of the them. I don't think it really gives recipes. It gives general recipes, I guess, because he tried to make the scorpion because he didn't really describe it to him how to eat the scorpion and stuff. But they go the lockpick and mage are against this, but Laos is like, no, but just trust me. They go into the dungeon. They chop up a mushroom man. or just a
running mushroom. Yeah, it's a running mushroom.
It's not a mushroom, man. It literally has feet and it's a mushroom.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is that you hear the scream and then you see a whole bunch of people running and then it's just one mushroom.
And it's funny because Marcel says, I can't believe they let such low level people in this dungeon.
Well, I think she used the word noobs. Noobs. Yeah.
Yep. So it gives you an element of it being a fantasy online or D&D stylistic game, but they don't reference it in a game situation, but they have little things about talk about like the first time they've died or situations of the such. So it gives me
or the like other, I was gonna say, or like Laos. Laos. Yeah, he said, you know, when they lost his sister, he says out loud, can somebody who's been digested be resurrected?
Yeah. So there is essence of like certain deaths can actually kill you, but others deaths, I guess, as long as you get found by a mage or druid or somebody with magical abilities to resurrect, can save you again. It hasn't gone that far in. I know the manga is finished and everything. I probably should read it, but I don't want to spoil anything because I really like this anime and I just want to keep it in that sense.
Right.
Our three adventurers or our party goes into the dungeon on the first level and they get the mushroom, running mushroom thing, and they Laos also hear scorpions in the wall, so he sets up those little capture trap with his sword to capture the scorpion while also protecting himself, and he tries to just dump the whole scorpion in the boiling pot, and then he chops this mushroom. He finds out you can only cut it horizontally, vertically.
You don't call it vertically. You don't cut it vertically,
but not horizontally.
But not horizontally, no.
Which is a stupid detail. That's such a D&D thing, which makes me laugh.
But hold on a second, because it did say you got it. Because when we meet Sin Shi, he then tells him about the mushroom head. You got to take the because he got this layer of armor on him that you got to take off. Then you can cut it. Yep. You know, it's not like you can. You know, so I get where it's like, why the fuck can't he cut? Which, yeah, you're right. It does sound like a D&D thing.
Yeah, it's just one of those little nitpicks. But like he said,
it also helps. Like if you're fighting them, you know, to slash vertically and not diagonally or horizontally.
Right.
So Laos is the first one to try this scorpion mushroom soup. Does not go over well. And then there's this dwarf by the name of Senshi that's like, hey, yo, what the fuck you doing over there? You're doing this wrong. And he's like, let me show you how to do this. And then out comes fucking Gordon Ramsay out of nowhere. And this man just chops this thing up to a delicacy, gourmet scorpion soup.
And while he's with the mushrooms and the fucking
mushroom and slime.
Like Chip said a second ago, is a slime was actually suffocating Marcel the Mage. It fell from the sky, and we find out that you can like just slice them and they'll just die instantly. And apparently the slimes have intestines that you can make into pretty much be a noodle. So we had like a mushroom stir fry with scorpion.
It kind of looks a little bit like aloe vera in a sense.
Yeah.
Did you not get that thing? Yeah, that's what it made me, because you use aloe vera in cooking. People use it all the time.
But you know? It like this show just details, like it gets the details right. The cooking elements are so good, but it also explains monsters to you while they're dangerous in the dungeon. And then also just like it just sets everything up. So like I said, it's like if you were playing a D&D game with your friends and you guys get to that part where like you're just bullshitting and you're just like, oh, I want to do this like little fun adventures, like side questing. It feels like that because it still got a lot of detail, but it's just goofy, but in a good way.
Right.
I love it.
It's not so goofy that it takes away from the main point of the story either.
No, like it's got the right, like I said, it's paced so well and the tone and the setting is right. So for anybody that likes high fantasy or cooking in general, like cooking shows in general, I think this is a great anime to watch. It's weird because like I want to figure out, are they going to make a cookbook for this anime? Because I want to know.
I want it too.
I want scorpion.
I'll try scorpion. I mean, people eat them freaking chocolate covered and crunchy and stuff. So I mean, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Fear Factor did the shit out of it.
Fear Factor did a whole lot of other crazy shit too. So
even like thinking about to this day, like there's no way I should have been allowed or legal, but okay. So moving on, like I said, for me, Delicious Dungeon A+, you guys, what'd you think also?
I'd give it an A+ as well.
A+, absolutely. Yeah. I'm still waiting to see where the series goes from here. I haven't read the manga, so I don't know exactly where it's going to go from here. But I also like the fact that they, especially it's more so in the second episode where it's almost like they're now trying to figure out each other's, I guess, how can I say this? Almost like they're their personalities, in a sense, like more of their personality comes out in the second episode than in the first.
Yeah.
Especially when with the mange, when she's like, when they're trying to pick up the mandrakes, and they're like, since she's like, I'll just chop their head off and pull them out, you know, do that, you know. And then she's like, well, I want to do it this way because this is how I was taught and blah, blah, blah. And then it ended up being in a roundabout way by the end of the episode, she was just like, you know, I just, when I'm not doing anything, I feel like I'm useless, you know, like I feel like I'm not, if I feel like I'm not contributing anything, I feel it's like because the locksmith basically said she was a burden, you know, and then she was trying to prove him wrong. And then some crazy shit happens, especially with the bat and that situation with the mandrake, you know, and Leos just says, you know, you're a mange. When we get further into this dungeon, we're going to need your magic. Don't waste all of it now. We want to help too. We want to be useful as well, you know. Yep. But it was almost like a bonding moment between the characters, in a sense. So I that was one aspect, you know. Especially,
I can get that.
Yes, character development, exactly.
So the one thing that I thought was interesting about episode 2 was their take on the basilisk, where it was a...
Really? I mean, it was like a full chicken and the tail was the snake. From the episode, it was the snake was the front. The chicken was the tail. That's right, yeah.
The snake was the front.
And the chicken was the tail. Yeah.
That's
hilarious. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty interesting because that's a different take on a basilisk. Yes. Yeah.
But what question do you have? Was that your question or
No. So in episode 3, they have the living armor.
Yeah.
Right. So they figure out why the armor. I don't want to give too much away, but why the armor is living. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Laos, his sword breaks. Yep. He takes the sword from the living... Why didn't he take that cool-ass living armor? Why didn't he take the cool-ass armor?
He already had armor.
Yeah, but that was better.
You wanted... But no, because remember, they steamed it. They used it. It was cooked.
Yeah, but he could still put the armor on.
No, it's got that thing cooked in it now.
There was 100 other...
No, there was only that one cool armor. Well, the other ones were standard one.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the shield was badass.
Scrape it out. That was a badass armor.
You don't need that motherfucker.
Least, yeah.
When you go down deeper into the dungeon, especially if you fight, like, trying to fight the fucking crimson dragon again.
Yep.
Why didn't he take the armor? That's the question.
That's all I'm saying.
That was your hard pressed question.
Anybody watching, what's your opinion? Do you think you should have taken the armor? Leave a comment. Let us know.
They used to eat with it.
But that armor was badass.
But I'm going to move on to the next anime of the so far the year that is kicking off. There's a lot that came out so far for the winter season. I've watched a few of them. I just want to get the guys to watch some of them. But the next one we're going to talk about is, to me, would probably be the anime of the year, and that's Solo Leveling. 2 episodes are out right now. I feel like they should have released episode 1 and 2 at the same time, because it sort of doesn't make sense when they cut off from episode 1.
Episode 3 dropped yesterday, January 21st.
I think as of this recording, episode 3 January 21st. Is out as well.
Is it out right now?
Yeah. I haven't watched episode 3 yet.
I haven't watched episode 3 yet either, because only the first 2 episodes come out. But the first... I don't know what happens, because I've read it. Got it right here. So far, the pacing has been... I don't want to say weird. The pacing has been weird because the first episode, they probably should have done the first two episodes as one, do an hour episode or something, or release both the episodes at the same time, because it cuts right in the middle of pretty much an important part. But the power system in this anime is probably don't make sense to a lot of people because it's a very different one. But more or less, the show is about this portal that opens up that lets monsters into our world. And there are people who have powers that can fight these monsters, but it's not everybody can fight them, and not everybody can go through the portal. E-class. These people are called hunters. And hunters are ranked from S class down to technically D class, but our main character is so crap that he is an E class. He's the only E class. But here's the thing, he's the weakest hunter, but he's probably the strongest human.
Real quick, I don't mean to interrupt, but
he has still got
just
power
Bob watching that can the beat episodes people up. That you've seen. Now, I only seen less, half of the first episode, so I don't know. I don't have too much knowledge of this, but you've obviously read the manga as well. Is it one of those traditional anime story arcs where it's like you're the weakest to do something and then you end up becoming like doing something that no one thought you could do kind of arcs? Is that where?
So this is part of that new wave. It's not new. It's not a new genre, but the new wave of anime that's doing a lot recently, where it's the weakest to strongest from the beginning, pretty much. So after episode two, and I'm pretty sure episode three will explain it, but he'll pretty much become the strongest person. So it's pretty early on off the rip, as opposed to most shonen, where it's, you know, you got to train, got to build your power, got to learn your power, and everything like this. No, he pretty much gets the cheat code off the rip.
I will say that the animation in this is beautiful. Crisp.
Beautiful.
It is very crisp.
So also with Solo Leveling, it started out as a webtoon. It's a Korean production. It's not Japanese. It's pretty Korean. Technically, it was a webtoon and became a manga, which is Korean manga. It is done by a Japanese studio, but the names and everything are Korean. I think the setting is Korea and everything. So it's weird to me hearing Japanese people say Korean stuff and everything and not Korean people doing it. It threw me off. Every time I watched it, I was like, we couldn't even do Korean people in Korean anime. But no, it's... So with our main character, he's pretty much doing this because it's still a job. So this is his job. He's pretty much doing it to pay for his mother's hospital bill and his sister's schooling. But most people laugh at him because he's obviously so weak. So whenever people would see the other hunters would see him on a mission, they would pretty much guarantee it being a super easy mission. Because if he's able to go to it, it can't be that bad. Because this is a guy that even at the lowest ranked dungeons, still ends up in a hospital because of how badly he gets hurt, even though it's super, super weak dungeon.
Yeah, he did.
But, no, it immediately goes by showing that he's smart off the rip. I'm trying not to spoil the end of episode one or episode two for Talon. So it shows how smart he is by solving the dungeon, because this dungeon is not a normal dungeon. It was classified as a C-ranked dungeon, something like that, I think. But it's actually like
so. It's
super low rank, C or D, but it ends up being like an S level dungeon. So shit goes off the wall.
Oh, okay, I got you.
No, it's just how dangerous it is. They thought it was not as dangerous as it was. So dungeons are ranked by their appearance and their difficulty of, I guess, monsters or creatures and everything in it. But this one didn't seem to be that bad, so they sent a bunch of like C, D, E, A tier people. They didn't really put out their S tier people there. And also, the very beginning of the episode of episode one, sorry, I just think about this, it shows that these monsters are impervious to our technology. They cannot be killed with guns. They're stronger than that. They showed it in the beginning of the episode because the army's shooting those ants and the ants are like, haha, fuck you. And then our S tier heroes have to come and save everybody from the ants. But no, I think Solo Leveling will be the anime of the year. It's like Chip said, beautiful animation. The story I love. It's a brand new power. I think it's a new power system style, because you can only do certain power levels, like systems. They all eventually sort of become like the same. Something here and here are the same. But this one, he has a great power system. I want to talk about it, but I can't. I got to wait for to watch episode 3, see if they actually talk about it or mention it, and also wait for Talon to catch up. But for anybody out there watching that wants to watch an action anime, I don't want to call it a shonen because it's not a shonen. It's not Japanese. It's Korean action adventure. I would definitely recommend this one. As far as I've seen from the first two episodes, I think it's a little slow pace. I still give it an A+. I hope it picks up where it should, because this thing was only like, I think there was only like 400 or 500 chapters, so it's not extremely long, and most people know that when you animate a manga, you do 2 to 3 chapters per episode, so I don't think it'll be that long of an anime.
Yeah. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was the soundtrack to this is
beautiful.
On point. It's so beautiful. I feel bad because I didn't talk much about Delicious in Dungeons soundtrack.
It has a beautiful melody throughout the whole show. Delicious in Dungeons is such a perfect melody throughout.
But yeah, the music in Solo Leveling is chef's kiss. The character design is really good. I'm with you, Roger. For the two episodes that I've seen, and when we get done recording tonight, I'll go watch
episode 3.
This is one of the first animes that I've strictly watched subbed.
Yeah. His dub is coming out soon. They released a date. I forgot what it was. I'll probably watch the first season all the way through subbed and go back and rewatch it.
It's preference.
Dub just to see. I mean, we don't, like we said before, sub and dub doesn't really matter. It's whatever. So
we were watching it.
One thing I did forget to mention about Delicious Dungeon is that it is kid appropriate.
I'm going to try to rewatch, just so I can have have it in my mind when we talk about it and stuff. And my son is just like, I want Scorpion. I want a Scorpion now, So.
Yes. It is very kid. Yep. It's kid friendly. It is kid friendly, so you can watch it with the family. We do recommend watching it with your family. I think it's a great one to.
Yeah.
Since it's brand new, you and your kids can watch it together and find out about it as it happens.
I've already made that mistake.
Not family friendly.
Yeah.
No. Not family friendly.
Somebody recommends, Roger recommends an anime, the first thing I always say is, can I watch this with Malachi? And he goes, either no or yeah, okay. Because I didn't ask him this question when I sat down to watch Assassination Classroom. And then episode 4 showed up, and I'm like, all right, Malachi, you can't watch this right now. Go away. it was bad.
Yes. And the third anime that I recommended, you guys haven't gotten to, so I'm going to dance around but still give my thoughts and everything. Metallic Rouge, set on Mars, actually.
Thanks, Elon.
So we're on Mars, we've terraformed it, inhabited it, whatever. So the story basis is that there's these best way I can explain it is sort of like Blade Runner. More or less. So we have these robots that we made to make our lives easier and help us out and everything like that. There was also a certain set of robots that we made to help us in a war against, the original Martians. I forgot what they... So this thing is all original. Studio Bones make it. Studio Bones is probably the second best anime production studio on the face of the earth, hands down. Maybe number one. Some people, to me, they're 1A, 1B kind of situation. They're celebrating their 25th anniversary of doing this. So to celebrate their 25th anniversary, they made an original anime. So there's nothing on it. So it's literally, we find out as the episodes come out.
Well, I can't really go back and reference anything or look up it up without it says, in a world where humans and artificial Rouge. Beings coexist, an android girl named Ruse Red Star and her buddy No, no. I'm just giving the premise. Basically, her and her friend Naomi are on a mission in Mars, to find the Immortal Nine, which is who are holding the Martian government hostage,
which are a rogue set of robots or artificial beings.
I'm just reading what the premise was.
What Adam has said at all yet, so you just want. Well, I mean, that's why I said don't read it, because I knew it was going to spoil something that has not been said yet.
Why would they?
Like, they haven't even mentioned what the Immortal Nine are. They've only shown us two people from.
Bleep me out. That's fine. spoiler alert. Yeah,
it's called spoiler alert for a reason. Yeah, definitely do a spoiler warning right there when we get to it. But I was going to say, the story starts with us with Rouge, and she's working for a lady called, I think, Stephanie or Sarah Fitzgerald, one of the two. I can't remember. It was an S name. And she's working at this gentleman's club kind of thing. Like, it's a strip club, but not really. Like
a burlesque club?
They don't show any nudity. It's like the old style dancing, like Moulin Rouge style dancing and stuff like that. Sort of is, Gentleman's but club. There are Lounge. Strippers in certain, like, they don't really show, but you could tell there are strippers. And yeah, that's what I said. Gentleman's club is the best way I can describe it. She's helping this lady out, Sarah, like, I think it was Sarah Fitzgerald. And she's just being her, like, friend and everything. You don't really think of anything out of it. Then it gets weird, because it goes from that point to you meet some of the other artificial beings, and you can tell they're artificial beings because they have, like, their faces have, like, lines and everything through. Like, you would put face paint, not painting, plating. Like, you could tell, like, they are not human. Boy, it's weird to say, because they have, like, these lines that look like they're just put together. And you find out that these robots have to survive on a drug, I guess would be the best way to describe it, called nectar. They have to inject it into themselves, and it keeps them going. If they don't get enough nectar, they shut down. But you also find out that nectar, if a human takes it, it takes them, it gives them a lot of, like, stronger powers, but it gives them, like, the perfect
euphoria. So PCP,
like,
basically.
They're at maximum high. They feel invincible. They feel nostalgic, everything like that. But it can also kill you almost instantly. So yeah, pretty much PCP. So it pretty much gets us that point, like, pretty early on. Like, you know, this is, like, the robots need sustenance, like a specific sustenance to survive. They're very friendly for the most part. They helped us fight a war on Mars, everything like that. But the Immortal Nine are these rogue nine artificial beings. And you find out who they are and, like, who two of them are and everything like that. So Rouge is also an artificial being, but she doesn't look like one. She has her port, like, on her chest, like, right here, like, where cleavage would be, and it's covered by her clothing, so you could not tell.
How did you feel about the animation in terms of, like, how the animation
saw her naked, pretty much, or topless?
Okay.
Gorgeous. Love it. Love it. It's all 2D hand-drawn. It's not CGI'd, which is fucking amazing. Well, Studio Bones has great animation. I love
Bones are the same ones that do My Hero Academia, right?
And their music is perfect. Yes, and I'm pretty sure they also did Full Metal Alchemist, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they did Full Metal Alchemist.
There's so many animes in they my did head full, from different studios. Yeah,
Full
studios
Metal Alchemist, Soul Eater, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. They've done all the My Hero Academias. Did Mob Psycho 100.
Yeah, Skate the Infinite, Black. Yeah, Mob Psycho, Noragami, Super Crooks, which is another good one that I would recommend later on. But no, they've done some of the best animated animes out there. I love them so much. But digressing. So we in the first two episodes, the first episode, we get to see a robot battle, an awesome robot battle. I don't want to go into it because I don't want to spoil anything that I want you guys to, like, look, watch it and be like, oh shit, this is cool. The second one, we actually learn more about Mars and the artificial beings and like the war and everything like that. So it's a little bit slower pace, but it's still fun to watch. I think it's really good that the second episode is world building, while the first episode is pretty much giving us the plot. So it helps out in that way to keep you watching. Like I said, it's an original anime, so there's nothing out there for me to go and be like, oh, I want to read it, see what's going on or anything. So we have to watch week by week. But yeah, that's that one. Metallic Rouge, I'd say if on a rating scale would be like PG-13. Like, your kids could watch it, but there's some things here and there, because obviously it's drug references,
right?
Here and there, and I mean the robots get sort of
so naked, you say but it's like naked, Blade Runner. Is it more like cyberpunk? Also, here like and there. That.
Genre so that's what I would say about that.
Right. Okay.
I mean, it's robotic noir, in that sense. But I say it's Blade Runner because you gotta kill the artificial being, pretty much the sense yeah. in that sense. There's an artificial being you gotta kill, set in like dystopian future, awesome. And everything like that. And it's got the nice colors and everything like that too. Yeah. But the animation,
they're coming out. Crisp. You brought up Bones.
Another A plus. So three A plus.
They're coming out with Skate the Infinity 2. To be determined. Yeah.
Yeah, I figured it would be.
I can't pronounce this.
They have that, and I think there's another one that came out with this year as well. But
yeah, I can't. I'm just gonna send you the. I'm just gonna send you the link and let you.
don't even do it. Just don't even try.
For people who are new to anime or get into anime or just need to. Like want to watch something new, I do recommend these three. They're three different genres, in my opinion, that really just are a good tale of anime that's changing how anime is getting better. Like we said, Delicious in the Dungeon is literally a high fantasy cooking show. Solo Leveling is great action adventure, and Metallic Rouge is a robotic noir. So, like I said, if you're a fan of Blade Runner, you probably love this. So that's. It for my anime review. And from there, we're going to go to our closing out statements or anything like that. Obviously, give us a subscribe, like, share, comment. We want more feedback for anybody watching this or anything like that. Tell us what anime you're watching or what anime is from 2024. That you've seen so far. I know there's a bunch of other stuff that came out.
Undead Unloved. I told
these guys to also
watch that. I thought you meant Undead Unloved.
The Undead.
Unwanted Undead.
Undead Unluck is a good one, but that came out last year. But Undead Unwanted Adventurer. That was always going to be a twister for me.
Look at the
My Jin
look at
Messenger real quick. I sent you the 1884, I think, is the other one.
The name of the one they're coming out with, or the one they're already coming out with. The magical girl.
Yeah,
and
that's
the evil
Japanese
lieutenant
name. I'll just
used to be arch enemies. That's what it. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you what it is, what it said.
Yeah. Sure. So that's the thing. No, I'm saying that's the thing. Like, that's not for me, but I'll see somebody. That's not for somebody. Closing statements. Yes. Like we said, like, share, comment, subscribe, all that stuff. Go to our social medias, go to our Facebook group. Start being part of the community. Go out there, be part of the community. Go to our X or Twitter, whatever the crap stuff is. Leave your questions a week or story of the week or whatever. DM us. Instagram, same thing. Go to DMs there if you want to use Instagram. Tell us your story of the week or the question of the week you want to pose on there. Like I said, hopefully next month we can start actually writing a question of the week on Instagram and Twitter. Yeah. And I guess TikTok we can probably just put a video of us asking the question and see what your comments, but I don't TikTok though. But no, guys, what are your closing statements or, you know, anything? What are you guys looking forward to this week or what do you have planned or anything like that going on?
So I'm definitely looking forward to the next episode of Solo Leveling and Delicious in Dungeon. I'm looking forward to getting into Metallic Rouge. I want to get into Undead Adventure.
Yeah.
And then there was another one. It's a continuation from fall of 23. It's called Frieren Beyond.
Frieren is such a beautiful anime, gorgeous anime, and such a well written story.
That gonna finish watching Found. I definitely recommend that. But what I really want is I want for our listeners, our viewers, to reach out and let us know something that we haven't mentioned that we should be watching or reading, whether it be a book, a manga, an anime, whatever show. Let us know, you know, an album or song to check out. And, you know, that could very possibly be part of next week's discussion. As long as you know, reach out and let us know some of that stuff, you know. And then, as always, you know, please do not leave without leaving a like, comment, share.
This format better, how it's structured and everything. Hopefully we get a lot of good feedback from you guys. You know, we've worked really hard trying to make this thing the best it could possibly be. And if you know of any way that we can try to make it look better, if you got suggestions, throw it out there. You know, we love to hear from you guys. We love the comments. We love the interaction. And, you know, we thank you guys for all things you've done for us. And, you know, again, like what Roger said, check us out on all of our streaming our social media platforms, Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok. Also check out streamlabs.com/movementradio/merch and go copy some merch. Yeah, we're looking forward to a great 2024. We got a lot of great things coming up. We have ATL Comic-Con coming up in the month of February, as well as Con Nuga, also in the month of February. So we're looking forward to both of those events. We will be back at Metrotham Con in May, so we're looking forward to that. Farley Con in August and C3 Chattanooga Comic-Con in October. So we're looking forward to all of this. And we still have, you know, God's plan. We're still on the right track to maybe getting on some more cons throughout the rest of the year. Just stay tuned for that. We will keep you guys, all of you guys, updated on our social media platforms. And I'm looking forward to a great 2024, and we hope you guys are looking forward to it too. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Until next week, I'm Talon Williams.
I was actually going to say what we're going to do for something we're going to do for next week is obviously talk about the world. Obviously, we're going to talk about the Royal Rumble.
Oh, go ahead.
See how that goes. See what the direction of WWE for 2024 is going to be. Obviously, some unfortunate happened with Seth Rollins being injured. We didn't really talk about it, but we're just going to tip it real quick. Yeah. Seth Rollins injured, so we're going to see what direction they're going to go with.
Yeah, we're recording this on January 22nd, by the way. So
you know, real quick, our predictions. We'll each say who we think will win the women's and then the men's Rumble. We won't go into too much detail. For me, I think that for the women's, they're going to have it be Becky Lynch, so she can challenge Rhea Ripley and set that WrestleMania moment up. And for the men's, it's going to be Cody Rhodes, unfortunately, again. He's got to finish his fucking story that nobody gives a shit about. But the final two will be a CM Punk and Cody Rhodes, so CM Punk will be a challenge for the Raw title. And this gives Cody Rhodes a way to move from Raw to SmackDown and challenge Romans to finish his stupid story.
I agree with Becky Lynch. I do think Becky Lynch is going to win the Rumble. If I had to pick a dark horse to win the Women's Rumble,
Asuka.
I don't know. Maybe Asuka, maybe Bianca. I don't know. But Becky Lynch is, as of right now, the favorite to win the Women's. Men's go, I want to say, for me, there's three guys in my head that I think could win it. Cody, Punk, and McIntyre. But see, McIntyre already won his. Cody already won his. And I don't think that CM Punk would have came back to WWE had he not been given certain promises, I guess, would be the best way to put it. I got a feeling Punk's going to end up winning the Rumble, I think. I think that's kind of what the story's been telling. And I think it's actually going to come down to Cody, Drew, and Punk. And one way or the other, I don't think The Rock is going to be a surprise entry, even though a lot of people are saying that that's probably what's going to happen. But I don't know. But, yeah, my vote is for Punk and Becky Lynch.
All right, I'm going to go outside the box here. I think Bayley wins the Women's Royal Rumble and challenges EO for the title.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where they go there to do the split for damage control. I think for the Men's Rumble, they pull a 94. They have Punk and Cody win. They both go out. Hit the floor at the same time.
And the whole thing is still, how do you get Cody to SmackDown and make it make sense? And if both of them fall down into... Yeah, but yeah. They won't do a contender title ship for that one.
You've still got the Elimination Chamber like I said, next month.
Triple H, and he's doing long story planning. He's not just going to throw something out there. I feel like...
I think that's how you get the title off of Roman without beating Damian Priest with the cash in too. In a triple threat. Punk pins Cody, so if both men win the Rumble, they go after the same title.
Raw, that's the issue. And Cody's moving to SmackDown.
Yeah, so you have you can still do it that way, but you have Cody pin Punk for the title.
No, he came back to win.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I don't think if the stars weren't aligned the way that they were, I don't think Punk would even. I mean, what he's done in WWE so far. Granted, he has not wrestled a match. The only thing CM Punk has done is done a couple of backstage.
Yeah, against Dominic
in WWE since he's returned. I'm not talking about house shows. I'm talking about just on television. I'm not talking about that. I'm just simply saying, in the since Survivor Series when he came back. Right now, what we are a week before the Rumble, he has been presented on television better than he did when he returned from injury to AEW. I go, dude, here's the thing. When there was that whole thing of the reason why he left AEW, why he was fired and stuff like that, and there was a lot of people talking about, there's a whole video on YouTube about it right now. Wrestling with Regret just did a whole retrospective of Punk and AEW. You know, was it good for AEW? Yeah, it was, because their ratings went up, their attendance shot up, merchandise was moving, they were making more money than what they were making. Now, granted, that's probably a drop in the bucket to fucking the Khan family, because they got all the money they want, you know? But I don't know. I just feel like Punk's being treated fairly, more fairly now than he did in his last run, especially after all the bullshit that he had going on with.
I think the difference between AEW and WWE is that in AEW they needed him to be seen and wrestled and wrestle. WWE, he doesn't need to wrestle; he needs to be seen. That's the only difference. That's why he hasn't technically wrestled, but they also have to make sure he doesn't get ring rust. So that's why they had him against that match and against Dominic.
Yeah. Does it bum you out a little bit though that with Rollins' injury that the Rollins Punk match could possibly not take place at WrestleMania if it's as bad as I know he'll still be back by Mania.
So, and knowing Rollins and his weird way of recovery, he probably will be back by Mania.
Yeah, that's the current synopsis is that he'll be back by Mania.
I mean, hell, he's been wrestling with a back injury for six, seven months now.
Everybody wrestles with a back injury. My wrestler ain't got a back injury.
Is that legit?
Last question though, before we get out of here, MJF, is he staying with AEW?
Okay, yeah, that contract thing, I think, is a lie. I feel like he still has that extension, and they're just doing this to draw more attention.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, WWE kind of blew it out of the water. It's like, we need to talk to him.
They technically can't talk
to him. Yeah, so it's like,
legally.
Yeah. I mean, after January, well, here's the thing. After January, I think from what I've read, it said that they were allowed to talk to him on January 1st. But if he had already signed the extension.
I thought you were going to ask the question, which is the big question, is number 30 entrant, Okada? Because Ellie, Okada's contract ends on the 31st, but do you think New Japan will be cool with him doing the appearance 4 days before his contract?
It's either Okada or Lesnar.
I think that if given incentives, because isn't he also booked on a February show to like finish up his dates and stuff?
I thought Wrestle Kingdom was his last event, or the one right after that, which is, so it might be after that, New Japan.
I think Triple H would probably figure out a way to work with New Japan to come up with some arrangement to where he can finish up his dates with New Japan, but can we have him for this one night at the Rumble? My only question, and the question that's been going around is Okada going to go to WWE or is he going to go to AEW? I honestly believe he'll go to AEW. I don't want him to, because if you think about it, Okada is not a spring chicken anymore. He's in his 40s. So where would you get? Do you want to go where you're going to make until? Well, he's okay, 36, but still, 36 is still up there.
Hell, the main eventers right now are so LA Knight, Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, AJ Styles are all almost 50 plus years old.
Yeah, but
that you guys are missing the point of what I'm trying to say. The point of what I'm trying to say is, would he go with the more financial security with AEW? Because you know Tony Khan's going to throw the fucking bank at him. Or is he going to go to WWE and take a risk on maybe an audience that probably doesn't really know too much about Okada?
See, you say that, but remember, Shinsuke debuted in NXT and everybody knew who he was. And Okada is bigger than Shinsuke.
Good point. Oh, I mean, I'm not saying he's not, but I am saying, yeah, would he go to WWE? But what do you do with him in WWE?
Yes.
You put him straight to the main roster?
Straight to the main roster.
Do you put him in NXT?
Royal Rumble debut, and you still have AJ, you still have Orton, maybe Cena comes back before we can finally get that match. You have Roman Reigns still. Shinsuke and him can start up a thing. Seth Rollins and him, that's the thing.
That's my first thought. My first thought was like, if he went, like, there's three guys I could see him going straight into an angle with, and that would be AJ, Nakamura, or Balor, you know, because, you know, that's just because they have that New Japan connection. But I feel like if he went to AEW, yeah, he's going to get paid a whole lot more money, but how are they going to use him? They're going to throw him into the middle of the fuck. They're going to put him in the middle of this big program. That's the thing. You have Dynamite's how, I mean, it's 2 hour long. Rampage is two hours long.
You gotta ask these
Collisions
people,
an hour that long.
AW.
It's five hours of program. You have 5 hours Collisions. Of programming.
Yeah.
And they don't even really do dark or elevation anymore. They kind of went away from doing that. They did. But what I'm saying is you have 5 hours of television. Yeah. You have 5 hours of product on television. You have 5 hours of wrestling.
They canceled those for Collision.
But you see mostly the same people on every show. You literally have over almost damn near 200 people on your roster, and you're only using about 50 to 60 of them, maybe. And these other ones are just like, okay, they're job guys. They're just going to be, they're there to collect a check, but it's a big ass check because it's Tony Khan, you know?
Well, a lot of those guys are on the, technically on the AEW roster, but they only wrestle for Ring of Honor.
Roger, yes, you were right.
Okada is scheduled.
he don't want to give me credit
for the fact.
I still think that they can work something with WWE to have him debut there at number 30, and then wait for him to finish his stuff in February and come back in March. I mean, to be honest, he could sort of wrestle both. I mean, he only wrestled an A show in Japan. He only really had to do appearances in Japan. It's Okada. Everybody knows who the fuck he is.
How do you think it would look if he showed up, did the Rumble, and that was the only thing he ever did for WWE?
If he does the Rumble, I don't think he's going to AEW. To be honest, I don't think he wants to go to AEW. I think he wants to go to WWE simply for the fact that he knows that's the better situation for his wrestling reputation.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but as we do know, he does have history with AEW because he competed at last year's Forbidden Door against Bryan Danielson. Yep. However, he has gone on record to say that he has always dreamed of wrestling.
I would love to see it, honestly. I mean, because you look at it from the standpoint he's not going to be.
There is that.
He probably, I don't know if he's going to be in, how long he'll be in wrestling. I mean, yeah, he's what you say, he's 36 years old, but I mean, there's people who, you know, leave as early as, you know, their mid-20s, and there's people who stay in it till they're 80 years old, you know? But
I think Okada's legacy is going to be as a wrestler, not, you know, not like a Dwayne Johnson.
Generic his legacy, movie star.
Yes, he was a wrestler, but his legacy is going to be as a movie star.
Yeah.
I think Batista's legacy will
Cena will probably be the only one
as
that can
right.
a blend movie both. Star.
He did wrestle
but like
for
Randy Orton,
years,
his legacy will be as
movies.
A wrestler.
Yeah,
he's always bringing movies by doing different things,
and they're not
genres of movies in different styles
movies,
and just
like what The Rock does.
I mean, he's killing it, to be honest. Like most movies he's done here recently have been fucking stellar.
Yeah, I mean, he can do an action movie, he can do a comedy movie, he can do a drama, he can do a horror movie. Like, I mean, there's plenty of things he can do. He could play a supervillain.
He was the supervillain in Fast 9? Yeah, because we're on Fast
10. He could play a superhero.
Fast 10 and... Fast 10 was so trash because like, I never felt like there was any danger.
Yeah, and then they flipped him to...
The last one I seen was 7.
9 is good.
Kind of a good guy.
I mean... The Fate of the Furious.
9 is good. I thought 10 was good. I hated I hated the ending of 10 because
Vin Diesel said it was supposed to be broken into two parts.
Supposed to be
I just don't know why you would call it Fast X.
And it leaves it.
What do you call the next one? Fast X 2?
Huge fucking cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy is so weird when that. Fucking, I hated it. I hated their numbering system and everything like that. But all right, we went off a tangent there. Thank you, folks, for watching. Let us know your WrestleMania predictions, or how you feel about the Rumble and everything like that. Let us know. Maybe we'll do just a special next or part of our segment next week, just talking about the Rumble. Obviously, we'll do our weeks again. Then we'll do the Rumble. We'll do anime reviews. If these guys get time to watch anime, and I don't even know. I have time to watch much anime this week. Everything like that. And then, you know, question of the week or story of the week or dilemma of the week. It depends on what you guys submit or if we find something that we have to discuss. But thank you guys for watching. Hopefully, you guys like the new way we're doing this. I feel like it feels more organic and natural and easier to do than trying to figure out a big overall idea.
Yes.
Or not. Okay.
Well, I didn't say nothing.
It was the
I'm cool with whatever. Y'all know how it is. Y'all see how they do me? Every time they get together, it's always they put everything on me.
First of all, the way you reacted there, you're like, oh, fuck this idea. I was like, I didn't say fuck.
See how they doing me?
What when you watch this back?
You get Roger and Chip together, and I'm coming. Yeah,
when you watch
I'm
this
a
back,
bad guy.
When you watch this back, you'll see what we're talking about.
All right, whatever. All right. Yep, see, he's agreeing with him. It always happens. Name one time that Roger has said something you did not agree with.
A lot of stuff, actually.
No. Not if it's against me. No, this is literally what happens. Roger says something. Talent disagrees. Chip agrees with Roger. That's how it works. It happens every time.
Only when it's an agreeable comment.
So the only thing is that Chip and I think a lot alike, unfortunately. So that's the only thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm the contrarian opinion. Okay, cool.
Well, I guess.
Something like that.
You see? They're agreeing again, see?
First of all, I said, I guess. There was no agreement portion of that whatsoever.
Not at all. But yes, thank you. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to share, comment, subscribe on Spotify and YouTube.
Make sure you guys check us out on all of our social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, and TikTok. Check us out on all them. Obviously, what Chip said, Twitter. Fuck. Y'all got me flustered. Hold on a second. Make sure you got streamlabs.com/movementradio/merch and go copy some merch again. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. Again, love you guys. We appreciate you guys. We'll catch you next time. I'm Talon Williams.
I'm Chip Hazard.
I'm Roger Sierra.
And this has been Movement Radio.
God's plan.